Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Federal investigators say last September's deadly pipeline blast near San Francisco was a disaster decades in the making. The final report from the National Transportation Safety Board blames Pacific Gas and Electric for installing shoddy pipe and then failing to properly inspect and maintain it. The scathing assessment might seem a vindication to the town of San Bruno, but as Amy Standen reports, locals are focusing on preventing a repeat of the tragedy.
The San Bruno explosion began when a 50-year-old defective pipe ruptured, spewing flammable natural gas into the air. It took PG&E 95 minutes to cut off the flow of gas. That's because the shutoff valve was manual and the fire was too big for workers to reach it. Jerry Hill, a state assemblyman from San Mateo County, is one of two lawmakers sponsoring new pipeline safety legislation in California. Hill's bill would, he says,
require automatic or remote shutoff valves, especially in the high-consequence areas, which are the high urban areas of transmission systems.
Those valves can cost up to $500,000 apiece. PG&E has said it will install more of them, but hasn't yet said where. Meanwhile, several federal lawmakers have proposed legislation that would force changes at utilities across the country. Congresswoman Jackie Speier represents San Francisco and the peninsula. She says one of the most important changes would be to require that old pipelines, like the one that exploded in San Bruno, be held to the same inspection standards as new ones. That's not the case now, Speier says, because the current rules grandfathered in all pipes made before 1970.
That has come back to haunt PG&E and other operators across the country. So the very first thing that we should do is that we should be going after these older pipelines to determine whether or not they're safe.
PG&E will also have to respond to lawsuits filed by over 100 San Bruno residents who lost property or family members in the blast. Bill McGoulahan is one of them. His house was heavily damaged in the explosion and has had to be rebuilt.
We'd like to have our civil trials get into court as soon as possible and move forward with a very transparent Kirk case so we can let everybody know what the facts are.
By law, NTSB reports aren't admissible in court, which means plaintiffs will have to call on expert witnesses to prove PG&E's culpability in the blast. The first batch of cases is expected to reach court next summer. For the California Report, I'm Amy Standen.
State regulators promised to deliver the results of their investigation into PG&E in December. That report could, according to the press release from the California Public Utilities Commission, lead to significant fines and other sanctions. Yesterday, the California Assembly unanimously approved legislation to require gas utilities install automatic and remotely controlled shutoff valves on all pipelines that cross an active seismic fault or are located within a high-consequence area. High-consequence as in densely populated. SB 216 now heads to the Senate for what's called a concurrence vote. State senators approved a bill yesterday that would ban the chemical bisphenol A, also known as BPA, from baby bottles and sippy cups statewide after July 1, 2013. AB 1319 heads back to the Assembly for a vote on Senate amendments later this year, pleasing public health advocates who've lobbied heavily to tighten regulation of endocrine-disrupting chemicals like BPA. Industry advocates say the science is not conclusive, but even so, they warn the bill, if it becomes law, could open companies to lawsuits. For his very first trip out of state as governor, Jerry Brown went to Las Vegas. No, not for the slot machines. The National Clean Energy Summit draws politicians and industry leaders from around the country annually to talk to and inspire each other. Gretchen Weber of our Climate Watch Project reports.
In his keynote address at the National Clean Energy Summit yesterday, Vice President Joe Biden said America is at a crossroads when it comes to energy, and that the choice is clear.
If we shrink from deciding that we're going to lead in the area of alternative energy, renewable energy, then we will be making the biggest mistake this nation has made in its entire history.
Biden said in the last 2 years, the United States has fallen behind China and Germany in domestic clean energy investments. In his address, Energy Secretary Stephen Chu said the nation should consider creating a federal clean energy standard, like California's, that requires utilities to get a percentage of their power from renewable sources. According to Governor Jerry Brown, the policy is working for California.
California 33% goal by 2020 has stimulated real investment, real monies coming in by the billions.
Brown said the state granted permits for 5,000 megawatts of new solar and wind power last year alone, with 15 times that amount currently in the permitting process. Now in its fourth year, the National Clean Energy Summit is sponsored by several entities, including the Center for American Progress and Nevada Senator Harry Reid. Organizers say they hope discussions here will lead to policies that make America more competitive in the global clean energy market. For the California Report, I'm Gretchen Weber in Las Vegas.
Governor Brown's nominee to the state Supreme Court goes up for a confirmation hearing in San Francisco today. As the California Report's Scott Schaefer explains, Berkeley Law Professor Goodwin Liu is expected to have clear sailing.
When President Obama nominated Goodwin Liu to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals last year, conservatives lined up to block him. They called him out of the mainstream, outspoken in support of same-sex marriage, affirmative action, and other liberal causes. Republicans also attacked Liu for lacking experience on the bench, a quality Governor Brown described as a virtue when he nominated him to replace retired Justice Carlos Moreno a month ago.
And it's good among seven people to have a diversity, different views, different backgrounds, and he brings that.
Liu is widely praised as brilliant, hardworking, collegial, and fair. And this week, a state bar panel gave Liu its highest rating, exceptionally well qualified. At age 40, Liu is regarded by some as a rising star, a Yale grad who clerked for U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg while winning high praise from academic colleagues. Some of those colleagues will be among the 10 witnesses testifying today, all in support of Liu. While 20 private citizens wrote letters to the confirmation panel opposing Liu, no one will testify against him today. Just one organization formally opposed him, Judicial Watch, a conservative legal nonprofit in Washington, D.C. Its president is Tom Fitton.
As he treats the California state constitution the way he seems to approach the U.S. Constitution, the people of California are in for a wild ride.
Today's hearing is expected to last about 90 minutes, culminating with a confirmation vote by the three-member panel that includes Attorney General Kamala Harris and Chief Justice Tani Kantil Sakaue. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, August 31st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The world standard for solar. SunPowerSolar.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as stopping email-borne viruses and preventing data leaks. Barracuda.com.